Let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. It is official. You can say there are not formal things in the SEC, but you'd be wrong because Oklahoma and Texas have formally notified the conference. They are seeking an invitation, and now we'll find out what happens. Let's talk to Bobby Burton of Inside Texas. Go to InsideTexas.com for the very latest on all of this, on recruiting, and all the stuff that Bobby's been covering for a few years. Bobby, how are you?
Good, Chad, Trey. How y'all doing?
Man, we're doing well. I'm so glad to talk to you today. You have been doing this for a minute or two. Did you ever dream that you would be discussing these things and on to be on the precipice of Texas entering the SEC?
You know, truth be told, yes, but not this week or not last week, per se. I mean, when conference realignment came along last time, Texas, you know, stayed away from the SEC, in particular because Mack Brown and Bill Powers did not, and to Lost Oz to a degree, did not think it was the right fit for Texas because of what they thought or perceived as potential illegal recruiting tactics, be that true or not. That's why Texas didn't go there. In the years interceding, I think that Texas has become more interested in the SEC. The profile of the conference itself has gained notoriety and gained traction. It's one of those situations where, you know, people were talking about the Big Ten or the Pac-12 or the ACC. Well, the SEC was the one that always was probably the most most sexy, I guess, is the best way to put it, when it comes to what Texas wanted to do, I think.
Bobby, do you think that assuming we see the Power Five turn into a Super Four over the next few years as the college football playoff expands and we get more natural and true on separation between the Power Five and the Group of Five schools, that the best fit for Texas if the Big 12 was going to dissolve over the other three conferences would be the SEC at this point, considering some of the changes with NIL to where that under-the-table stuff, a lot of that is now over the table too?
Yeah, exactly. And I think was probably – not that Texas was stuck on that, but that was probably the final shoe to drop in what made Texas very comfortable and others around Texas very comfortable about making the move to the SEC was the NIL. But this was in play before that ruling became apparent back in June, and late June from the Supreme Court. So It played a role, but I don't want to speak to how much. I think that as I look forward and having talked to some people at Texas at very high levels, you know, they're not necessarily looking at, okay, what's this all going to look like? Is it going to be four conferences? Is it going to be two leagues nationwide? Is it going to be six and there's 16-team playoff? They just felt and wanted to go as far as saying, okay, let's hitch our wagon to the SEC, in part because they felt they were partners that would reward Texas and Oklahoma to a level that they deserve to be, as opposed to potentially weighing down Texas financially long term.
Talking with Bobby Burton of Inside Texas. Obviously, Bobby, a lot of what you have done over the years is cover recruiting like probably nobody else. Talk to me about the living room in recruiting. How much does this change the dynamics when it comes to Texas, Oklahoma, and the SEC, or does it change it for you?
Oh, it does. I mean, it's not so much Texas and Oklahoma and how they pitch themselves, although I think that obviously the SEC will be part of it. Texas A&M, and this doesn't count for the out-of-state piece of what Texas A&M does, but Texas A&M in the state of Texas has sold the SEC as the be-all, end-all, and that they're the only place for players from the state of Texas to play at home and stay in state and play in the nation's toughest conference. Be that true or not, it has resonated heavily with a lot of recruits. And so I think that the Aggies are going to have to change a little bit of how they approach it. It's not insurmountable or anything for them, but it will absolutely change that from a Texas and OU standpoint. I mean, Oklahoma does so much national recruiting right now that I think that playing in the SEC again will be very appealing. And with Texas, The primary thing that people will use against Texas was the Big 12. It wasn't even Texas's results many of the past years, because Texas still has a great deal of tradition and a great academic situation, as well as a alumni base that is as powerful as any in the country. So what Texas sells from that standpoint kind of changes with Steve Sarkisian because of who he is on offense, but more so it changes with a new conference and what they will bring to that conference and who they're going to be.
There's a bit of posturing going on right now, Bobby, with regards to the media rights for the Big 12 running out in 2025. Everybody's playing nice, everybody's being courteous, but it seems far-fetched that the Big 12 will continue to exist for another 4 years. In your best estimate, when do you think Texas and Oklahoma will be playing conference games in the Southeastern Conference?
So first of all, that's the million-dollar question, or the multi-million-dollar question. I would say posturing is the right word there, right? Because anybody that definitively says, oh, they're, Texas won't move, or oh, you won't move until 2025, they said so. Or the Big 12 said, oh, we're going to hold their feet to the fire until 2025. That's not reality. Reality is these things get litigated or negotiated out long prior to that. I would put it as greater than 50-50 odds that Texas is playing in the SEC in 2022. Is that for sure? No, it's not. Would I maybe place a bet on it? Yeah, I might. So I feel like nobody has the absolute answer. I do know that Texas has some pieces in its favor with the Longhorn Network, for example, and the SEC Network being part of ESPN. There's some dollars there that might flow that Texas doesn't have to worry about, or that ESPN may be able to pick up. And so there's a lot of moving parts, and I don't think Texas fully knows where it's going to end up quite yet. I don't think Oklahoma does. I don't think the SEC does, nor do I think the Big 12. So likely, but not for sure.
And I mean, to me, as you're talking there, Bobby, I'm thinking about this may be the first time it's happened in college athletics, but if you've got every lawyer, booster, amount of money, power play, if you've got all of that of Texas, Oklahoma, and the SEC all trying to get the same thing, I mean, there's no way we get close to 2025 on this thing, right?
No, I don't see that happening. Nor do I think Texas would enter into this with the legitimate thought that it's going to be 2025.
Yeah.
I think that it would be too soon to pull the trigger on that, right? And so that being said, you know, there's still some meat left on the bone there to figure out exactly how it's going to work. I'm sure people are working on it, right? I know people are working on those kind of things right now.
Yeah.
But the reality of it is until it happens, there will be a lot of scuttlebutt and that sort of thing. But until it actually is agreed to on all sides, you know, it's just going to be hearsay at this point.
Talking to Bobby Burton of Inside Texas. All right, Bobby, let's get to this SEC vote. When they get to that moment for the SEC vote, A, do you think A&M will vote no? B, if they do, would you blame them? And C, do you think anybody else would vote no?
A, do I think A&M will vote no? I don't think A&M will vote no, because I think that financially it is prudent for them to vote yes. They have a lot of debt. A lot of universities do, so it's not something that's just specific to them in their athletic department. So that's one part of it. Second part is what was the second question? How many
if
do
they,
I think?
No, if they voted no, would you blame them?
No, I would not. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that I actually, if I understand some of the angst A&M fans are feeling, right? Because if you look at it from a big picture perspective, they have leveraged the SEC. We're the only school in the SEC in the state of Texas. They have a leveraged bat to some success. I mean, they just won the Orange Bowl, so they're excited about that. Their football program looks like it's going in the right direction. So to upset the apple cart now, just when they feel like they've got, I mean, the Manziel era was interesting, but it wasn't necessarily sustainable, and that's why they let go of Sumlin. With Fisher, it looks like they've got their sea legs, you know? Mm-hmm. And so to come in now and say, you know, you're going to spring it on me now, right when I think I got it righted, is a little different.
Yeah, and in terms of any other teams that you think might vote no, does anybody else have a reason to say no?
Well, I think Missouri's AD just stepped down this week. Don't know if y'all heard that or not, but I don't know that that had – it certainly didn't have anything to do with this situation, but Missouri was rumored to be one of those. But, again, the money talks. How can a school like Missouri potentially turn down an additional $16 million a year that the additions of Texas and Oklahoma might bring? You also talk about Florida, Georgia, and South Carolina being potential no votes because they are the only school in the SEC in their states, and they would somehow be compassionate about the Aggies and their desire to be the lone school in their state. The only problem with that is, and there was even talk that the former president of A&M said there was a gentleman's agreement, but you know, the only problem with that is Florida, Georgia, and South Carolina are founding, not South Carolina, but Florida and Georgia are founding members of the SEC. They're a little bit differently situated than A&M, despite being a full member. It's just a little different situation.
Yep.
One of the most interesting questions surrounding this move, Bobby, is what happens with the rest of the Big 12? Inevitably, somebody's going to get left out of the Power 5 discussion, unfortunately. So what's your best guess on where Texas Tech, Baylor, and TCU end up?
My best guess is they are not in a – they are still in the Big 12 and some remade version of the Big 12, because I don't know that the Pac-12 is going to take them. I really feel that Baylor would be a hard pull for the Pac-12 based on the fact that they've stayed away from religious schools and BYU when BYU clearly wanted to join the Pac-12 before. Texas Tech is not necessarily in line with academically yet with the folks at UC Berkeley or UCLA or Washington or Stanford or USC. And those four schools, those four California schools, certainly are the apple of the Pac-12 eye. I mean, they really are the center point. And so, you know, and then TCU, I just don't know. I mean, I think the best case scenario would be the Pac-12 for all of them. Mm. I don't know that that's going to happen. Mm. The one thing I will say about this, and this is not enough people are talking about it, is that the Pac-12 needs an 11 o'clock central kickoff time.
Agreed. Yeah.
To maximize their value financially. You know, George Kliakoff is a guy I've known for 20 plus years. He used to be one of the business executives at MLB Advanced Media when we did some work with them a long time ago. And he's a very astute guy. He helped launch Hulu, for example.
Wow.
You know, and he will, he's only been on the job, I think, for a couple of weeks, but he will eventually get there about where the Pac-12 absolutely needs to be. I think that the Pac-12, however, might be able to create some interleague play with the Big Ten to get that 11 o'clock start too. Mm-hmm. So where does Oklahoma State or Tech or Baylor or TCU fit in if the Pac-12 and the Big Ten were to do some sort of interleague play throughout the year and not just be league play from week 4 to week 12 or whatever? So, I mean, there's a lot of things and variables that I don't know the answer to. And I'm not sure everybody else has the answers yet, because the Texas OU deal is so new and it did take people by surprise.
Bobby, last one from me. There's been a lot of talk about how the SEC will be organized now. Are you a fan of staying east-west and just going with an 8 and an 8? Or do you like this 4-team pod idea? How do you think it could shake out?
I like the pod system, because I think that I do like that, because I would – obviously, I want Texas to play, you know, A&M, OU, and Arkansas every year. Maybe LSU every other year or something like that. You can figure that out. but within the pod system of four groups of four, and then segmented into to divisions east and west, you could play a round robin of your four teams and then two of the other local pod, and then rotate one more game or two more games across the other two pods so that you actually are playing every single SEC school once every 4 years at least. Yeah. So that to me makes a lot of sense. Of course, there are other people that might schedule it different and think differently. I will say this. I think some of that's been floated potentially, but I don't know that that even is agreed upon yet at any level within the SEC or at Texas, although there's been some discussion.
One more question, Bobby, because we do still have an upcoming college football season to play before Texas and Oklahoma may end up in the SEC. What do you think the ceiling and the floor is for Texas football as things stand right now on July 27th, less than a week before fall practice gets going?
I think the ceiling is 10 or 11 wins. I think they've got enough talent. They've got a defensive front that's legit. They've got some depth and talent on the offensive line. Is it great yet? I don't know. But Bijan Robinson is a great player. And Texas won. He's the best running back since Jamal or Cedric or Ricky, right? And I just think back to Mac Brown's first season at Texas. And I think Texas, where they go 10-3 and won the Cotton Bowl over Mississippi State. I mean, Bijan Robinson's a fantastic talent. And this is Sarkisian's first year. He's an offensive guy, and he's got a piece that not many people will have in Robinson. So as long as he stays healthy, they find a quarterback that can play, I think that Texas could easily win 10 or 11 games this year if everything falls right. If everything doesn't fall right, if they have problems adapting to a new defensive scheme, if they get tripped up by, Louisiana Lafayette or at Arkansas, I could see easy 6 or 7 wins instead. So I think there's a wide gap this year of what's, to your point, floor and ceiling. I think it's really wide this year. I don't think it's like 7-9. I think it's 11-7 or 11-6.
Well, I'll tell you this. You got a whole bunch of fan bases now paying attention from the SEC. You go slip in Fayetteville, they might throw you through that floor. They'll be upset at that point because that's going to be a whole other part of this season, Bobby, is, well, would that work in the SEC? Is that going to be good enough for the SEC? That's going to be a whole part of it for Texas. If you're following the Longhorns, check out InsideTexas.com for all the recruiting stuff, all the latest on this developing story. Texas and Oklahoma have now officially asked the SEC if they can come play in that conference. Crazy stuff. Bobby, we appreciate the time, man. Have a great week.
You too, Chad and Trey. I'll be good.
Thanks, Bobby.